This service went a little bit differently last Sunday if you were here, so I didn't get a chance to actually preach the message that I preached last week. I want to encourage you. I'm not going to try to re-preach that message today and then preach you a new one because I don't think y'all want to be here for a full hour. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you'll take the time to go online. You'll go to our app or our website and take a look at that sermon where we really laid a foundation about what this cancel culture is, this time that we find ourselves in where if you don't believe what somebody else believes and what you have to say is seemed offensive to somebody else, that now you no longer have the right to have that opinion. You need to be canceled. You need to be silenced. You need to be just shut up. I mean, so much for the days where, you know, you used to say, well, you know, you believe that, really? Well, this is what I believe. Let's talk about it. Let's see if we can, you know, maybe we'll persuade one another. Maybe we'll open up each other's eyes to a different point of view. Maybe we won't. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to shake hands and still be friends. And it's like everything is changing, and that seems to be not possible, and it's no longer just we disagree. It's no longer, you know, there's the left and the right, and there's just like the middle ground has totally evaporated, and there's no place for dialogue anymore. And so it's in that place that we find ourselves in culture that the church has to figure out, what is our role? Where do we fit in? What is our response? What ought we to do? Maybe there's some things we ought not to do. I think that that's true, that there's some things we should do, some things we really don't need to be doing as a church. But we've got to understand that cancel culture is coming after us. And if you don't know that yet, then you're way behind in the warfare that we're engaged in. And when I say by us, I'm not just talking about the people in the room or those that are watching us online right now, but I'm talking about us as in Bible-believing Christians who stand solidly on the principles of God's Word, and we have made a determination that God's Word is the final answer for all the questions that we have, whether we like it or not, whether it agrees with the direction that society seems to be moving or not, that we believe that God gave us His plan in His book. It's our compass. It's our roadmap. It's where we get our values. It's where we get our morality. It's what we teach our children and our grandchildren. And those values that have been embraced through the centuries, now there's this cancel culture that instead of embracing those wants to erase those and erase us and to take away our right to speak up and say, hey, I know you feel that way, but I've got an opinion that's different, and my opinion is not just something I came up with. I've found that in the Word of God. That's what I'm basing my life on. And I think it's a good answer. It's the gospel. Somebody tell me what gospel means. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not bad news. When we bring in the biblical point of view into our culture, we're not bringing bad news into our culture. We're bringing good news. The good news that offers life. You know, Jesus said there's basically two directions that you go. There's the thief, and he comes to steal and to kill and destroy, right? He says, but I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I choose life. I choose more abundantly. I choose the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that can change us. So this morning, we want to look at this message again. I just want to remind you, go back and look, because I'm not going to get into everything. You saw some video clips up there. We walked through some of those things. We talked about, you know, just right here in our own city, Oral Roberts University, how cancel culture is impacting that, and how that really implicates the implications of that for us. We talked about H.R. 5, House Resolution 5, that's passed in the House of Representatives, how that standing right now at the Senate waiting for final approval so that the president could sign it, how that would very negatively impact us as a church. So I talked about those issues last week. I encourage you to go back and look at it. Today, the message title is Kingdom Culture is Change Culture. You know, the world's culture is cancel culture right now, but kingdom culture is change culture. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is establishing his kingdom on the earth. And he's laying out the laws, the rules of his kingdom and what we are supposed to be doing. And in Matthew chapter 5, let's just pick up in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as, say that word with me. You're not saying it very loud. You're still not saying it very loud. I wonder why we're not saying it very loud. Is it because that we're afraid that some of us have lost our saltiness? That some of us may have lost our influence? Some of us may have lost our impact? And Jesus is warning, don't let that happen. Let's keep reading. Verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Jesus says to us here, as my followers in my kingdom, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. What Jesus is saying is you are influencers. You are change agents. Wherever you go, you ought to make a difference. The salt of Christ that just oozes through us, the life of Jesus in us, ought to flow out of us and impact and salt and flavor and season the world that we are engaged in. That when we are walking around, that the light of Jesus so shines through us that the world sees it. We don't hide it. We don't hide it under a bed. We don't put a basket over it. And I think if Jesus was talking to us today, he would say, you don't just shine while you're in a church building. You don't just hide it inside of a church building, and that's where I look like a Christian. And then as soon as I walk out, I turn the light off so that I'm not offensive or abrasive or possibly misunderstood or ridiculed by the people who might want to cancel my Christianity. Jesus makes it so clear to us when we read the Word of God that he's not calling us to come together and have a holy huddle where we just sing songs and pray prayers and pat each other on the back and say, bless you, brother, bless you, sister. Glory to God. Let's pray for Jesus to come and take us out of this world because this is a bad place to be. Jesus did not call us to do that. He called us to be salt. He called us to be light. He called us to go into all the world, all of the world, and to preach the gospel to everyone. That might even mean people that don't want to hear it, right? But we got a responsibility to be the salt, to be the light, to make a difference. He expects us to go and to make converts, to make disciples. There's a conversion that you used to think this way, you used to act this way, you used to feel this way, you used to talk this way, you used to believe that way, but then you met Jesus and you've now been converted and now I think differently and feel differently and act differently and talk differently. My life has been converted. That's what a convert is. The early church, they were salt and light. They made such an impact on their world. Listen, this is a statement that's made in Acts chapter 17. It's in the city of Thessalonica. The Christians had come here, or come to Thessalonica, that city. It was a wicked city, pagan city. They had their culture that was an anti-God culture. And now these Christians have shown up. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. These who have turned the world upside down have come here also. That's how the early church was known. These guys who are making a difference in their world. These guys that are shaking up things. These folks that are changing their world. These who have turned the world upside down. They have flipped culture on its head. They've changed the world that they are living in. These guys have come to our city also. And you know, the truth is they weren't excited about it. It wasn't. They've come to our city. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have revival. No, that wasn't what they were thinking. They were thinking, we're getting ready to have a culture clash. It's getting ready to be some war going on around here. We're getting ready to figure out who really is God in this place. What made those early Christians believe that they were supposed to have that kind of an impact on their world? Where did they get such a crazy idea? From Jesus. From Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did. He came in the world and he started shaking things up. He started changing some things. He started doing things a little bit differently than they've been done. And he got some attention for that. Not everybody liked it. But he spoke up the truth. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Now let me just stop right there. He didn't stop and set up shop on the corner of A Street and Main and say, hey, here's my place. If y'all want to hear what I think, come hear me. No, it says that he went into all of the cities and into the villages, right? And what did he do? He teaches in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus goes about establishing the kingdom of God. He talks a lot about the kingdom. You know, it's like three times you find the word church mentioned in the gospels. But you find kingdom like something way over 100 times. Jesus didn't talk so much about the church. He talked about advancing a kingdom. He wasn't just talking about building a little building on a corner with a steeple on top where folks could come in for their holy huddles. No, he was talking about advancing a kingdom in the world that was going to change the world. It was going to change culture. The kingdom of God. The people understood that in their day. I mean, if a king invaded another territory, he didn't just go in, kill a bunch of people, take the stuff, and then go back home and then let them rebuild back up again. No, he would come in and he would establish his kingdom in that land. He would place his troops there. He would put his leadership there. He'd get rid of the governors and the mayors and whoever the leaders were. And he would put people there that believed what he believed, who stood for what he stood for, who would advance his cause in that land. And when Jesus is saying, I'm building my church, my ecclesia, I'm building my kingdom, he's using this kind of language that the people understood what he was talking about. Jesus has come to invade this place, to enculturate this place, to change this place. Listen, and here's why. It's because of Genesis chapter 3. Because when God first created the heavens and the earth, when God first created this earth and formed it and put Adam and Eve in the garden, there was this perfect relationship between God and man, and all was good and perfect until Genesis chapter 3, when sin enters the world and everything goes in the wrong direction. And from that point forward, God is saying we got to do what we can, and we are going to do it. And God's not like, let's try this and see if it works. No, God's got a plan, guys. God's got a strategy, guys. And it's you and it's me. It's his church and his kingdom. And we're making a difference in this world. But Jesus didn't just do it. He taught us to do it. He commanded us to do it. In the next chapter, in chapter 10, it says that Jesus sends the 12 out and he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus put a very important line in there. He said, when you're praying, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You think Jesus really meant that? You think maybe he just threw that in there just like, I don't know. We'll see if this works or not. You know, try this prayer. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know. No. I mean, Jesus is saying, this is how you need to pray. And as he's asking us to pray that way, it's because he believes it's going to work. Pray, thy kingdom come, the kingdom of God come, the will of God be done on the earth as it is in heaven. I just want to ask you a question. When you turn on your television, do you think that the kingdom of God is being done on earth as it is in heaven? Absolutely not. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world today that's absolutely antithetical to everything that heaven stands for. And Jesus is saying, don't just give in to it, don't just accept it, but begin to pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Be the salt, be the light, preach the gospel of the kingdom until we change our culture. It's not just the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's everything. It's the healing. It's the deliverance. It's the setting free. It's the joy of the Lord. It's all those things that are part of the kingdom. The world is trying cancel culture, but what we need to do is change culture. Now, listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about some violent overthrow of the government. I'm just talking about Christians rising up and being Christians. I'm just talking about us really being an influence in our sphere of influence. I'm not asking you to go across the country somewhere and hold a sign. I'm asking you to just be salt and light right where you are in your neighborhood. Be the best neighbor in your neighbor, where people go, man, that guy, there's something about him. I like it. And you get a chance to build a friendship and a relationship and have conversations about things and just bring the kingdom of God right there where you are. You're doing that where you go to work. You're doing that where you go to school. You're doing that where you shop. You're just doing that where you get your nails done, wherever it is, whatever you're doing, where you get your beard trimmed, whatever it is that you're doing. We're making an impact. We're being salt. We're being light, and people see it in us. We're not hiding. We're not pulling back. We're not timid and afraid. I'm not saying that we're offensive unnecessarily. I understand that sometimes people will get offended when you say the truth. But I think we need to speak the truth in as much love as is possible. I think we need to try to minimize the offense as much as we can without compromising the truth. It's what Jesus did. It's what he instructed his disciples to do. It's what the early church did. And as we already seen, they did it very successfully. And it's what we are supposed to do before. Listen, church, this is war. I almost made that the title of my message, but I was like, nah, that may be a little too bold for them right up front. Let me see if I can get them about 10 minutes into the message, and then we'll tell them, this is war. You don't believe me? It's been war for a long time. Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep among the wolves. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus, I didn't sign up for that. Oh, wait, time out. Did you get that wrong? Maybe you meant, I sent you forth as wolves among the sheep. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, I'm sending you forth as sheep among the wolves. You remember what Peter said? He said, the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's after folks. He wants to destroy lives. He's the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus makes this strong statement. He says, the kingdom, remember we've been talking about the kingdom. We're the kingdom of God. We're advancing the kingdom of God in our world. He says, this kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Man, that sounds like some conflict going on there. Sounds like some warfare that's going on. Jesus said in Matthew, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That sounds like there's some conflict going on. There's a war that's going on. He says, but don't be afraid of that. He says, because I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Listen, we need to understand the nature of the battle. Our battle is not with people. Our battle is not with Hollywood. Our battle is not with politicians. Our battle is not with that neighbor that really just drives you bananas because they believe so differently than you do. That's not what the battle is with. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a battle of values. It's not a battle of people. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is spiritual warfare. This is a battle that we are engaged in. And so when we battle, we battle not with carnal weapons, but we battle with the spiritual weapons. Because again, let me just lay this out. Every one of us knows some people that the enemy's lied to and deceived, and they're caught up in sin and darkness. And we still love them because they're our friends and they're our family. I've got family members who've struggled with drugs and alcohol in their life. I've got people in my family that spent time in jail. I've got people in my family that identify with the LGBTQ community. I've got people in my life who've been through divorce and live in adultery. And listen, I'm not up here saying me or my family, we got it all together. No, neither do you or your family. And we love our family. We love them. Whether they're living right or not, we love them. We love them so much that we want to see them saved. We want to see them born again. We want to see their life change. We want to see the power of Jesus set them free. Amen? I heard a preacher ask a question yesterday. Man, this is a sobering question. He said, what would you want the church to do if you were still lost? What would you want the church to do if you were still lost? Would you want us to just hang out in our holy huddle? Just come to church and have our meetings on a Sunday? Preach our sermons, sing our songs, do our worship, pray our prayer, punch our ticket, say, hey, I did my godly duty this week. Now let me just go back into the world and live the rest of the week just like everybody else does. And I'm not going to be salt, and I'm not going to be light, and I'm not going to make a difference, and I'm not going to witness, and I'm not going to testify. What would you want the church to do if you were still lost? I think you'd want us to be the church that Jesus called us to be. To be the church that's engaging lost people and loving lost people with the glorious message of a Jesus that died on a cross. Listen, I want to tell you, this is spiritual warfare, and Satan is not playing games. Satan is in this thing for keeps. He doesn't play fair. He'll do whatever he can to steal and kill and destroy. But here's what I know that we have to do. We've got to engage this battle with the same sense of purpose. Because we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we've read the end of the book, and we know who wins. Amen? And so we don't pull back. We don't isolate ourselves. We don't say, well, that's other people, that's other stuff. Let somebody else deal with it. No, this is me, this is you. We're not burying our heads in the sand. We're going to engage in our culture. And take back the ground that Satan has stolen from us. Take it back. Advance the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, you find these examples, and I'm getting ready to wrap this thing up, of the book of Judges. You see it cycle after cycle after cycle. They're serving God, and the next thing you know, they fall into idolatry, and they start doing wrong things, and then God brings judgment, and then he brings someone, a judge, a person to call them back to righteousness, and they repent, and they come back to God again, and get it back right again, and then, you know, a generation or two goes by, and then they go back through that same cycle again. When I see that, I see hope. I see hope that even if it looks like that the trajectory is not going in the direction that we want it to go, that God still has people, me and you, that he wants to raise up to make an influence in our world that can change the direction of our society. So practically, what does that mean? And here's where I'm going to just close it up with a couple of practical things. Number one, educate yourself about these issues. Educate yourself. Instead of just watching Netflix all the time, educate yourself about the world you're living in. Oh, man, y'all are just really, you're thinking, right? You're thinking about it. Well, preacher, it's your job to educate us about all this stuff. Well, I am. I'm trying really hard right now. But I can't cover every issue that happens every week in the world, right? So you need to be educating yourself. Don't bury your head in the sand. Turn on the news and listen to more than one channel. Because if all you're listening to is one channel, you haven't really heard the news. You haven't heard it. You just heard propaganda. That's what you've heard. And I'm saying it comes from both sides. So what do we have to do? We got to be able to listen to it all and then pray and ask God to give us a discernment of where the truth really lies. How about this? How about supporting some Christian organizations that are on the front line in the cultural battle? Get on some newsletter lists. Places like Family Research Council. You pick who you want, who you like. Get involved in Men Crisis Pregnancy Center. Get involved with some organizations that are really making a difference, that are engaging culture at a place where the church needs to engage culture, that their purpose is to make a positive difference, and pray. And get into the Word of God. How much time did you spend in the Word of God last week? Well, preacher, I figured you'd feed me on Sunday. Wouldn't that be good enough? Have you seen how thick that book is? There's a lot of stuff in there. You want me to be finished in 20 minutes? There ain't no way. You're going to have to spend some time in the Word. You need to know what the Word of God says. You don't need to get your morality from Hollywood or the news or social media or Facebook. You need to get your values from the Word of God. So get into the book. And read it and study it. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, when you encounter a culture that's going in the wrong direction, you know what the word of God says about it. And you declare the word of God, not just your opinion and your thoughts. Study the word and pray. And pray. Stand firm. Write your senators and your representatives. Tell them to stand firm and have a backbone in the face of cancel culture. That's why we voted you in, because we believed that you would do the right thing when the going got tough. So stand up for righteousness. And by the way, vote. And vote the right people in who are going to stand up for values that we believe that the Bible teaches us. And pray. And some of you might even need to run for office. Some of you might need to serve. You say, I can't be the governor. I can't be the president. Well, maybe you don't start there. Maybe you start at city council. Some of you would be a whole lot better city council than some of the city councilmen that we've got. Start at the school board. You realize that's really where the battle starts, is for the minds of our children. And they're bringing curriculum into the schools that are perverse curriculum. And we need to say, no way, Jose. Get on the school board and make a difference. Hey, listen. Some of you need to get over this politics is a dirty word stuff. That's a lie. You need to get over this, the church needs to stay out of politics stuff. That's another lie. They go together. If there's any truth to it, the only reason that the politics is dirty is because the church did get out of it. So let the church get back in it and be a positive influence on our society. Be salt and light. Make a difference in our world. You got any Bible for that? How about the book of Daniel? Just look what Daniel did. He was in the political structure. You got any Bible for that? How about Joseph? Joseph got involved in the political structure of his day, did he not? Come on, folks. And pray for your leaders, from the president on down or from on down up to the president, everywhere in between. And pray for them whether you voted for them or not. I said pray for them whether you voted for them or not. Maybe you need to pray twice as hard if you didn't vote for them. But pray. And pray for our Supreme Court. Because that's where the battle of cultures really getting finalized these days. That's where the final, this is what we're going to believe. This is what our culture is going to stand for. It's happening at the Supreme Court level. We need to pray for justices on that court and every court underneath them. To hear the Spirit of the Lord, to have godly values, to have wisdom and courage to act and to do what's right in this day. And we need to pray. Would you stand with me? And let's pray. Went a little bit long today, but I didn't preach last Sunday, so, you know, on the balance, this has worked out, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, we're not here to get mad. I'm not mad. Mad a little bit at the devil, but, you know, mad a little bit at what's happening, but it's a righteous indignation, God. It's the kind of mad I think that you have. You want to see things turned around. You don't want to see people bound up in darkness and sin and the depravity and the lies of the devil that's just trapped so many people. God, you want to see people set free. I see people finding the joy of the Lord that comes when our sins have been forgiven and our names written down in heaven and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus and all of the old stuff has passed away and everything becomes new. God, that's what you want for all of us. It's what you want for our nation. It's what you want for this world. Lord, you died that nobody would be lost, but that all of us would come to repentance. Just wonder this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's some folks that are here today, and or maybe you're watching online right now, and you know that your life is a wreck, it's a mess. Then instead of describing your life as the abundant life that Jesus came to give, it's the life where the enemy's been stealing and killing and destroying, and your life is broken, and you need help. You need salvation. If there's anybody here today that either for the very first time you would like to surrender your life to Jesus, who wants you to be whole and complete and filled with joy, or maybe you've done that in the past, but you've walked away from the Lord and you're ready to come back home. Recommit your life to Jesus today. If that's anybody here this morning, I want you to just raise your hand right where you stand. Yeah, I see some hands that are raised. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes. Ready to just recommit to the Lord. Ready to surrender your life to Jesus. Yeah, thank you, I see. There's somebody else. Just pause for another moment. Maybe the Lord's still just dealing with your heart. He's tugging gently. Holy Spirit's not rude. He's a gentleman. He's not going to push you, force you, but he's going to lovingly invite you to come home to him. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's several hands raised in this room. Maybe there's some of you. I'm talking to you right now online, and you're watching, and you know that you need to make that decision to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. There's no better time than right now. So here's what I want us to do. All across this room, I want us to pray a prayer together. And if you raise your hand, make this your personal right now prayer, your cry to God right now. Lord, save me. Would you just pray along? And everybody in this room, just pray out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I come to you and I confess that I am a sinner, I am lost without you. But I believe that you love me, that you died for me, that you rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. You give me this free gift, and all I have to do is accept. And so, Jesus, I say yes to your gift of everlasting life. I receive that gift. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of all of my sin and making me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Today's a new day. This is a fresh start. My past doesn't matter anymore. I'm walking ahead in the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer and saving me. Help me now to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, celebrate today. Celebrate today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me down at the front, and we're going to dismiss this service with a final prayer. If you prayed that prayer of salvation or rededication, we've got material that we'd like to give to you. Our prayer team would love to talk to you. Come and meet them. Come on, prayer team, while I'm talking, come on down to the front. Just step on down right now. Those of you who are first-time guests, don't forget to go by Guest Central at the back of the room. Those of you who are part of the baby dedication, don't forget to go to the little reception that we have over in the Life Cafe just on the other side of the hall. I want us to pray. We're going to dismiss. And then if you need prayer for anything, our prayer team is here. We're ready to talk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you. Lord Jesus, you've called us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world.